thank you and applause to them for the work. Would you join me in prayer? God, with our lives and with our hearts, we come today to engage living word. We come today to engage heavenly melody. Come and sing through us once again, sing over us once again. Call forward that sacred singer in each of us. Help us to lift our voices to you today with all that we are, with all that we have, with all that we hope to be and hope for our world today. Help us to sing out. Sing out for the broken. Sing out for the hopeless. Sing out for the jaded, for the tired. Sing out for the frightened today. Sing out for ourselves with honesty. May it be all about you and your love and your promises and your hope. May the ancient singers inspire us once again today. In your name we pray. Amen. Today, the beautiful psalm, and I've been trying to be really generous with these psalms, let you hear all of them together because it may have been years since you've heard a whole psalm. Psalm, for those of you who don't know, it just means song in Hebrew. It's a very special word. These were worship songs that have been used for thousands of years. Some of our oldest poetry and some of our oldest. We don't have the melodies. They give us some hints. They'll say, you know, in the style of this and that and so forth. We don't know what that is. So what's kind of cool about that, and I'm kind of glad we don't, because I think God calls us forth in every generation to find the new melodies and the new rhythms that will really fit our generation so that the ancient songs continue to be alive in our time and in our day. You know, church people, God, we drive each other crazy sometimes, don't we? We get so caught up on style, right? I don't like worship and praise music. Give me a big organ, right? Now stick with me here. Keep it holy, you know. Give me, you know, I want the old, you know, Wesleyan hymn, and I want to march out and everything. That's my style, you know, while somebody else says, no, I'm Catholic. We don't even sing. We just let, you know, we just sit there and we don't want to sing, you know, so forth. We get caught up on style, 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 style. We think, oh, that's what those people do, those evangelicals do, or those Protestants do, or those Catholics do, or those, you know, emerging church people do. Do you catch how many times we're saying those? Saying those. Othering one another. And the whole reason we came to MCC was to do what? To stop othering one another. Hey, come on. To stop othering one another. And man, if you ever want to know where the crux of othering is, come and spend a few days in the music ministry shoes. Because we all have an opinion about the music ministry, right? Fortunately, we have a ministry that walks that with grace with us, and we try so many things. And we try MCC. You know, we just have an embarrassment of riches because we can choose from it all. A whole world of singers who have heard God's melodies. A whole world of singers who have learned how to harmonize in new ways. A whole world of singers, ancient and new, they're all there for us, gifts for us. And you and I get that bounty in worship. And we can bring it in together in worship. And we can love it together in worship, all of it, as a sacred offering. Somebody somewhere, their spirit responded to God, right? And they wrote something. And they shared it. And other people loved it. And then they shared it. And then we have the opportunity to love it and to share it together and never other one another. Sometimes I think the God in our life is only as big as the God to which we sing. Can I say that again? Sometimes I think the God in our life is only as big as the God to which we sing. Today's psalm was a great example of that. It was a big old psalm. And it tried to be comprehensive of all of creation. The psalmist was singing to a very big God, calling on a very big God, reaching out and seeing beyond the psalmist's own circle. Something much bigger in the trees, in the skies, in volcanoes, in donkeys, in the sardines, and all that. I loved, and the lions, and all of that. Something bigger. Because there's a lot of times in life when we need to reach out to a bigger God. Did you know our denomination started that way? A lot of denominations have these great, you know, stories. You know, I think the Lutherans have a great story. Martin Luther, the first Martin Luther, he began the Reformation movement. He wrote his tenets out, and we have the great thing of him walking up to the door, you know, and he hammered it in, you know, much to the building manager's chagrin, you know, onto the door, hammered these on, and there was that demarcation in the sand, and that's how much of the Reformation started and stuff. But ours is a little different. It started with somebody who was broken. And it started with somebody who forgot how big God was. Because nobody was telling people, othered people, how big God was. And maybe nobody was telling anybody how big God was. Troy Perry is the founder of our denomination, and it was during a time when the bars were being raided regularly, where LGBT and other people would gather, and there had been a particularly terrible incident, and this was just the straw that broke the back for this young man's life. He had been outed in his original church, lost his calling, lost everything, his family, and he got in a warm bathtub, and he slit his wrists. And luckily a friend found him, took him to the ER, and as he started coming to again, there was a nurse, and he said that she was the most beautiful and African-American, a large woman that he thinks maybe he's ever seen in his life. And she looked at him, and she said, "Why didn't you look up? Why didn't you look up?" And it was in that moment that the turning happened. At the hardest moment of having to choose to come back to life, that he remembered a song that an ancient psalmist once wrote. And that psalmist said, "I will look to the hills from whence comes my help." Hills, big God, I will look up to the hills from whence comes my help. That's how we began, by having to remember a big God who is really there, who is really helpful, and can help us through anything in this life, even help us to bear what seems like unbearable pain. Look up, and you will find strength, and you will find hope, and you will find nothing less than this great God of creation, the Logos. That's what the Greeks saw in Christ, which was just that creative spirit of God. We translate it as the Word, but Logos. In the beginning was Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God, and all things came into being through Logos. Have a great, great memory of chanting an ancient song beneath the African sky on sunrise service in Cape Town. That's where I used to be a minister. And we were out there, you know, this little pod of people, you know, up on top of Signal Hill, looking back at Table Mountain, one of the greatest wonders of the world. It was dark, and we chanted the ancient Exultet. If any of you come from Catholic background, you might know that's what you chant on Holy Saturday. You know, rejoice, O Mother Church. Rejoice greatly, right? And it's ancient. And I started chanting that under a full moon. And around from the side through the pines came one of our members, this beautiful young person, and he was carrying the new flame from around the mountain. And we saw it processing up as we were chanting one of the most ancient songs in Christendom. And as the light arrived, the light started rising of the sun, and the mountains glowed pink. And for one moment, we weren't able to say a word. And the only words that came were, "Behold, Logos." The very first Christians, people of the way before they were called Christians, we know from our earliest records that there were these two little slave girls, and they had been taken by the Roman authorities when this was an illegal thing to do, this way of Christ, and they were tortured by them to try to find out something with which to continue further persecutions against this crazy sect. And what they reported was, we couldn't find much that was wrong with them. What they said they did is they got up before the sun rose. And imagine, these are slaves, these are people whose lives are indentured. But they would gather together before moving into that. And they said, "We will sing songs to the Christ as the sun rises." A big God. A big God. A God who was bigger than the Roman Empire. A God who was bigger than a world that had not known what it was like not to have slavery. A big God in whom their spirits were always free, always alive. My friends, whatever it is that you're going through in your own life, whatever valley you're walking through, as we sang with Psalm 23 last week, remember to look up, to look out, to not only see a very big God, but to sing to a very big God. And our very souls, as a part of that creation, will enlarge. And there'll be a little bit of a bigger container that you have for hope. A little bit of a bigger container that you'll have for vision, for how to make things better in your life and our communities, in our world. Because surely the God who made all of this creation made it to be beautiful, made it to be free, made it to be equal, and made our lives to hold as much happiness as we could hold, even as we find the strength to deal with suffering as well. Would you join me in prayer? Within each of us, God, is a voice. Help us to find the wisdom to sing out to a big God, to look around at the creatures and all of creation around us, to care deeply, to see you in each one of them as well. Give us the wisdom through our own experiences of othering to never other your creation. May we care passionately for a very big world. May we care passionately for the smallest. And in so doing, see your face once again. And hear the message once again. that says, I am in the hills. Just look up and you will find me. In your holy name we pray today. Amen.